The polite manner of the slightly disheveled Thompson, the epitome of the absent-minded professor in his round-rimmed glasses, tweed jacket, and winged collar, helped calm Bohr's nerves when they first met. Eager to impress, he had walked into the professor's office clutching his thesis and a book written by Thompson. Opening the book, Bohr pointed to an equation and said, "This is wrong." Though not used to having his past mistakes paraded before him in such a forthright manner, J.J. promised to read Bohr's thesis. Placing it on top of a stack of papers on his overcrowded desk, he invited the young Dane to dinner the following Sunday. Initially delighted, as the weeks passed and the thesis remained unread, Bohr became increasingly anxious. "Thompson," he wrote to Harold, "has so far not been easy to deal with as I thought the first day." Yet his admiration for the 55-year-old was undiminished. "He is an excellent man, incredibly clever and full of imagination. You should hear one of his elementary lectures, and extremely friendly. But he is so immensely busy with so many things, and he is so absorbed in his work, that it is very difficult to get to talk to him." Bohr knew that his poor English did not help, so with the aid of a dictionary, he began reading the Pickwick Papers as he fought to overcome the language barrier. Early in November, Bohr went to see a former student of his father's who was now the professor of physiology at Manchester University. During the visit, Lorraine Smith introduced him to Ernest Rutherford, who had just returned from a physics conference in Brussels. The charismatic New Zealander, he recalled years later, spoke with characteristic enthusiasm about the many new prospects in physical science. After being regaled with a vivid account of the discussions at the Solvay meeting, Bohr left Manchester charmed and impressed by Rutherford, both the man and the physicist. On his first day in May 1907, the new head of physics at Manchester University caused a stir as he searched for his new office. "Rutherford went up three stairs at a time, which was horrible to us, to see a professor going up the stairs like that," remembered a laboratory assistant. But within a few weeks, the boundless energy and earthy, no-nonsense approach of the 36-year-old had captivated his new colleagues. Rutherford was on his way to creating an exceptional research team whose success over the next decade or so would be unmatched. It was a group shaped as much by Rutherford's personality as his inspired scientific judgment and ingenuity. He was not only its head, but also its heart. Born on 30 August 1871 in a small single-story wooden house in Spring Grove on New Zealand's South Island, Rutherford was the fourth of 12 children. His mother was a school teacher and his father ended up working in a flax mill. Given the harshness of life in the scattered rural community, James and Martha Rutherford did what they could to ensure that their children had a chance to go as far as talent and luck would carry them. For Ernest, it meant a series of scholarships that took him to the other side of the world and Cambridge University.